Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our look at the book of Hebrews as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
When Jesus was here on earth, he came as a prophet, speaking for God. When he went back to heaven, he went back to heaven as a priest to represent to us to God. Difference between a prophet and a priest. A prophet speaks to people on the behalf of God. A priest speaks to God on behalf of the people. See the difference in the offices. When he was here on this earth, he was a prophet. Now in the heavenlies, he's our priest. Not only a priest, he's the great high priest ever interceding for us. Jesus became the priest, when he ascended into heaven. So Christ occupies a threefold office. Now listen very closely and we're going to move on. He was a prophet when he came to this earth about 2,000 years ago. That was past. He's the great high priest today in heaven. That's present. And one day he's coming back. Amen. As his role as king. That's future. And only Jesus has occupied all three of these offices or will. Prophet, priest, and king. He goes on to say, because of that, we have a great high priest in verse 14. He's our advocate, our mediator, if you will, that has passed into the heavens. He's now in heaven. Jesus, the Son of God, he made it so clear. Let us hold fast our profession. Again, he's not talking about your salvation. You cannot lose your salvation. What he's talking about is your confession, your testimony, your witness. Because Jesus is now in heaven. And because he's now in heaven, let us hold fast. The word hold fast literally means to stay with it. He's not talking about our salvation, but our testimony and witness. Living for Christ. It's wonderful to know that we have a great high priest in heaven. And he ministers there for us. And in my notes, I have the word us all capitalized. Because as I was writing this thing down, I can't get over it. He's there for us. Us. And we're going to find out here in verse number 16 that when we go to that throne of grace, by the way, aren't you glad it's not a throne of judgment? The Bible calls it a throne of grace for us. That we may obtain mercy for us. He's there for us, ever interceding. So he says, I want you to hold fast. Don't quit. Don't ever give up. Because a lot of these Jewish people, they were being persecuted and they were going back to the Jewish religion, sacrificing. And we'll see back when we get to chapter number 6, Paul said they're not coming back. When we get all this in context, he's not talking about losing your salvation. He's talking about they're not coming back to church. Hebrews 10:25, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. They left and they're not coming back. And so much the more as we see that day approaching. So that's what he's talking about. To hold fast our profession, our confession, that confession, your testimony and your witness. Don't you quit. And then verse number 15, we get to some real intimate part of the thoughts here in these two verses. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I mentioned already about these priests that people would go to and confess their sins. This high priest, he says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of Jesus Christ knows everything about us and he cares. There's a song that sometimes we sing in church, and I don't remember all the words of it, but it goes something like, does Jesus care? I think one of the verses goes something like, does Jesus care when I said goodbye? Catherine just mentioned losing a brother-in-law, Greg. Does Jesus care when I say goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? Does his sad heart ache? Does it nearly break? Is it aught to him? Does he care? And then the chorus, oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Though the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. And Paul put it this way, because we don't have a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings of our infirmities. He cares. The phrase be touched with the feelings is one word in the Greek. Interesting. I'm not a Greek scholar. Now we have three here in our midst, maybe more that I don't know about. The word is one word, sympathio. Sympathio. I may mispronounce it. If I did, Doug, correct me later. Okay. Sympathio. We get the word sympathy from it. To be touched with the feeling of, we get our English word sympathy from that word. It means to be affected with the same feeling as another. The same feeling that they have, you have. In other words, to have compassion, to have that same feeling as another, be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Matter of fact, it's the same word in Hebrews 10:34. For ye had compassion. It means to suffer along with. We have a great high priest who is not, he's always available. Aren't you glad about that? But he also understands. He understands of our infirmities. The word infirmities means our weaknesses, physically and mentally. He knows all about us, as I already talked about. He knows our thoughts, our motives, our intents, so we can go to him. He already knows, and he already cares. And then, he understands because he knew what it was to hunger. Now stay with me, because we're going to get to the point about no sin. But he knew what it was to hunger. Remember the temptation? He hadn't ate 40 days and all. And we're going to read in just a minute about tempting with hunger and bread. He knew what it was to be hungry. He knew what it was to be thirsty. Remember on the cross of Calvary? One of the things he cried out, I thirst. He knows what it's like physically to be able to hunger, to thirst. He knows what it's like to be touched with sorrow. Remember Jesus standing at the tomb of Lazarus. Shortest verse in the Bible. Everybody knows that. What's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. John 11:35. Okay. He knows what it's like to be touched with grief, with sorrow. I didn't add this to my notes. It just came because I got so many other notes I need to get through this. Remember when he was just before his death, he's up and he's looking over Jerusalem. And the Bible says he weeps and he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would ye that like a mother hen would and chicks would come. I'm paraphrasing. Remember that talking about that you would come to me, but ye would not. Notice he didn't say you could not. I won't pick on Calvinism today, but he didn't say you couldn't come. He said you wouldn't come. But he wept. And remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he wept bitterly. And the Bible says a great sweat as drops of blood poured down. He knows what it's like to weep. He knows what it's like to suffer. No one ever suffered like Jesus. Nobody. We're going to get into this in just a minute. But you understand what it talks about. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our friend. He's been there. He's done that. And then it says this, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. There's an age-old debate. Could Jesus have sinned? Could Jesus sin? The answer is no. There's both sides of the debate, and I won't get into that. The answer is no. And I wrote some things down. I want to read it so you understand where I'm at. Not only did Jesus live without sinning, but he was without sin. That is, he could not sin. Now listen, he did not inherit the Adamic nature as we did. We inherited that sin nature. He was not from the seed of man, but from seed of a God, but also seed of a woman. He couldn't have the seed of man. But literally, he talks about the Holy Spirit implanted that divine sperm seed. He could not sin.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.